Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out of the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem on the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called by my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading, a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now concerning your spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, were enticed and laid astray to idols laid to stray to the idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith. By the same Spirit is another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, in another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, standing there were 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you. Lord Christ.
Jesus Christ, I believe. Help me in grace. Amen. Jesus did this, his first sign in Cana of Galilee, and his disciples believed in him. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So every time I do a wedding or a funeral where I know folks who are not Episcopalian might be, I always say, just so you know, when we do communion, it's real wine. And the reason I say that is because before I went to seminary, I helped out with a wedding at St. Peter's Church here in Chattanooga. And I was the chalice bearer, the Eucharistic minister. What other words do we have for that? The guy in the robe with the cup. So that was me, and I was walking around, and I came to this one lady who was kneeling there, and she takes the cup, and the look on her face was of just complete shock. And after the service, she came to our priest, and she said, "You should warn people that it's real wine." And Carter, the priest, said, "Oh yeah, we use real wine here." And she said, "Well, that's against the Bible." And Carter said, "Not according to Jesus at Cana of Galilee." Now, I don't say that. Don't say that. I preempt the issue up front so I don't have to give the biblical Cana of Galilee response. So I think there is not a little amount of embarrassment in the Christian world about this reality about Jesus, that he was willing in this way to extend and celebrate the joy with wine, and he sat at table with folks, and he was accused by his detractors of being a person who hung out with people who were drunkards. This was something that Jesus did, and this at Cana of Galilee was his first. The Gospel of John uses the word sign. The other Gospels use the word miracle. It's two different Greek words, but I think they're talking about the same, if not similar, things. This was Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John. And, you know, you think about that, and you would ask somebody, what is the first miracle of Jesus? And, you know, you'd think it's like healing somebody or raising the dead or helping a blind person to see. It's turning water into wine, and not just some water, 150 gallons by my account there of water into really good wine. And what happens here is the disciples see this sign, this miracle, and it inspires them to believe, to trust. Pistuo is the word in Greek, to acknowledge and to trust and to dedicate themselves to the notion and to the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the one to be followed. It is this sign that inspires that belief, this sign of creating joy and abundance. I think that the Gospel of John is giving us a sort of blueprint or a map for our process of thinking about how it is that we come to trust that this work we do as Christians of trusting Jesus, of believing Jesus, of following Jesus, even to points of loving people self-sacrificially, even to points where we take on the cares and burdens of the most vulnerable in our communities. This is the Christian path. This is what Jesus did. This is what the disciples followed Jesus into. And what the blueprint for that, the map for that, is laid out here in what scholars call the Book of Signs in John. So just a little bit about the structure of the Gospel of John. You have chapter 1, which is sort of this very sophisticated poetic prologue where Jesus is talked about as the Logos, the Word of God. And then we move into the second chapter, which begins what scholars call the Book of Signs. And they call it that because throughout the Book of Signs, between chapter 2 and chapter 11, Jesus is carrying out a series of miracles that inspire the people around him. And people say that in Mark, Jesus seems to be more human, but in John, Jesus almost floats across the ground. I mean, he knows the mind of his opponents. He knows what's in the hearts of his disciples without them telling him. He has no problem healing blind people. In Mark, he has to heal a blind man. He has to touch him twice. But here in John, he heals the blind man with one touch. Jesus is more of a miracle worker in the Gospel of John, and that's the book of signs. And the beginning of the book of signs is this miracle of turning water into wine, this extending the joy for these people who are celebrating this monumental moment in their lives. The book of signs culminates, comes to a conclusion in chapter 11. And the miracle there is the rising of Lazarus from the dead. And that is what moves Jesus into Jerusalem, into the what scholars call the Book of Glory. And I think we all know what happens in Jerusalem. And the Book of Glory is this is how they scholars talk about this, is Jesus' movement into self-sacrificial love, of accepting this fate, of forgiving those who laid hands on him, of being raised from the dead. This is Jesus' glory. This is our glory, right? And so the initial inspiration comes in the Gospel of John in this miracle, in this sign of turning water into wine, this act of love for this couple, these folks who have gathered here at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. It reminds me of a friend of mine. Her name is Molly Miles. Molly lives on Signal Mountain. She's a member of St. Timothy's Episcopal Church up there, and I got to know her when I was working up there as a priest. And when I first met her, it was on the occasion that her husband, Dick Miles, had passed away. And I was terrified. I was a deacon. I was brand new. I didn't know how to show up into somebody's house who had just lost their husband and sit with them, and what I was going to say and how I was going to pray and what I was going to do. I was really at a loss. And it was particularly difficult because I didn't know Molly. I reached out to some folks and got to know some things about Molly before I went to her home. And what I learned is that Molly had done some amazing things in her life. Her and her husband had done some amazing things, had accomplished some amazing things, but they had also faced some tremendous tragedies, one as the loss of one of their adult children, tragically. And so I knew this about her walking in, and it intimidated me even more. And so I walk in, and there she is on the couch, and she's got a tissue, and there's tears in her eyes. And I sit down next to her, and I put my hand in her hand, and I say, "Molly, I'm so sorry this has happened." And she said, "Robert, you know, when these things happen, and they do happen, every time people show up with casseroles, with desserts, with flowers, with hugs, with prayers, with embraces, with love, and the room fills up with so much love that you can feel it." And that was a miracle moment for me. That was a sign moment. That was a moment in which Molly had taken my presence, which was like the water in those cisterns, the water in those jars, and she had turned them into the wine of joy. And so that's how Molly became pastor to me when I was supposed to be pastor to Molly. Right, and it was the beginning of something for me, of understanding in this beautiful metaphor, tangible way of understanding God's love, that when we do these acts of love and service for each other, the room fills up with love. It fills up with love, so it's tangible. It's a tangible thing. It becomes our love acts, our acts of love and compassion towards each other, they transform into something else, and they're healing and redemptive, and they bring resurrection. That's what Molly was teaching me in that moment. That was the miracle, the sign that happened there. John is very much concerned with making sure that you understand that Jesus, the entire time he was moving throughout his ministry, was on a path to do the thing that he did, which was to give himself over in love for us. That's what the path was. That's what salvation meant. That's how redemption works. And as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we are expected to do the same, to follow Jesus into loving acts of self-sacrifice. And it is not easy to do. It is not easy to do. But we live in a world that is in desperate need of our willingness and our ability to follow Jesus in that radical way. For Molly, it was getting to know a dear friend of hers who she had spent much of her younger life with, who had a son born with a major intellectual disability. And this son was able to, as he got older, was able to feed himself and to clothe himself, but he wasn't able to hold a job. And there was no sort of transitional place for them. There were places for people who did not have the capacity to feed and clothe themselves. But there wasn't a place where people could live outside of their parents' home who were self-sufficient but couldn't necessarily hold a job on their own. And so Molly stepped into the life of this friend of hers and helped out. And that son came to live with Molly, and they would share responsibility there until the two of them decided that they needed to create a place for people, that this wasn't just their problem, this was everybody's problem. And so they found themselves in a cow field in Hickson, behind where Academy Sports is now. And walking through this cow field, Molly famously stepped into a pile of cow poop and said, "This is the place where all the crap is going to happen, right here." And that site is today the home of Hosanna Community, a place where people facing traumatic brain injuries or intellectual disabilities who can take care of themselves, they find a place to live and to have meaning and to be productive. And it's like a little miracle. It's a miracle that happened. And the two of them were able to give themselves over to that process and to that accomplishment. It was hard. It was difficult work. Molly worked for free for that as the director of that institution for years and years and years. It was an act of self-sacrifice. And I believe that Molly was able to do that because of the miracles, the signs that were in her life. There are signs and miracles in our lives too. When we encounter each other and somebody gives us a moment of inspiration, our hope, our love, our forgiveness, or they help us to understand who God is in our lives. These are sign moments. These are like we show up with ourselves with that water in the cisterns, and Jesus turns that into wine. And our job there is, when we encounter these things, is to, like the disciples, be inspired to believe, to trust that we can follow Christ too. Amen. To God, who is made manifest in Jesus Christ.
As the prophet Isaiah rang out, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, Empower your church, O God, to ring out the good news of the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, which pierces even the deepest darkness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As the star rose high in the nighttime sky to draw the nations unto Christ, child, send your blessing, O God, on this nation and every nation, and draw the whole world to your peace with and truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As John the Baptist guided throngs of people to the edge of the wilderness and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, we pray that you would give our country and our leaders the ways of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As Jesus climbed the mountain to the mountaintop, proclaimed blessings on the people of the world, we pray for the sick and for the distressed, the poor and the lame. We especially pray for the Sargent family,
Jim,
J.R.
and Gordon,
Pat,
Gail,
Priscilla,
Gray,
Cindy,
Joyce,
Kelly,
Barry,
Pete,
Pat,
Xavier,
Becky,
Alexander,
Terry,
Ken,
Dale,
Sarah,
Peter,
family
of Leanne Matheson,
Paul,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John, and
Jamie,
Zach,
Steve,
Todd,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Bella,
Amy,
Lloyd,
Roy,
Ava,
Shira.
As Jesus called his disciples to leave the nets and boats and follow him, we pray for those who love and whose have answered your call to follow Jesus into your heavenly kingdom. Give them your peace, Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. This morning we also especially pray for the folks who are traumatized in that synagogue in Dallas. We give thanks for the peaceful outcome, the mostly peaceful outcome, that no hostages were killed. We pray that hate finds no home, and we pray for healing for those who experience those things. Lord Jesus, light of the world, hear our prayers and make us reflections of your light, that the places of darkness in our world would be pierced by your light, and that all nations would be drawn to you and be overwhelmed with joy. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace choir, folks. Clean those bathrooms.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that.
Just see.
Well, thank you, everybody. You know who the true believers are on a morning like this. Both churches, I think, are. At St. Albans, we had a lot of people call out who. The weather and also sickness right now is keeping people away. So very thankful that you're here and among us. Just a word about our bathrooms. So the bathrooms are out of order for right now. I've reached out to our junior warden. We believed that this issue had been remedied, but we were incorrect. So we have more work to do, and we plan on addressing that this week. But the one bathroom that is available is the unisex, the bathroom, the one stall bathroom that's in the hallway. The other two are off limits. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you and your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. the other chalices. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. The body of Christ, the bread of life. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks who are in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Epiphany and remain with you always. Forth into the world to love and to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.